Well, good morning, everybody. Good to see you all, and you're all very welcome. If you're a visitor with us here this morning, good morning to you. Welcome to First Rathfrieland. And if you're joining with us online through YouTube, a very good morning to you. Just some announcements to make in advance of the morning service, so just bear with me for a few moments. And first of all, just to say on behalf of Kirk Session, could I just thank all who were involved in the Holiday Bible Club. A very successful week, I believe. I know it was a change of date from the traditional August Holiday Bible Club, so it was good to get that date changed and to hear the good news that has come back from that week. So thanks to each and every one of you who were involved in the planning, the preparation, the delivery of that, and those who helped in any way. And of course, to the parents and friends of the congregation who sent our children along, we greatly appreciate that. So thanks to each and every one of you. Just a reminder that Children's Church has recommenced, so it is available there. And there's a list in the vestibule if you'd like to help out in that ministry throughout the course of the summer months. This evening at 7 p.m. down Battalion Boys Brigade's commissioning service here in the church in advance of their forthcoming mission trip to Uganda. And the speaker this evening will be the Reverend Mark Neely, who is no stranger to us here in First. Next Sunday morning, the 6th of July, prayer meeting in the Minor Hall at 11 a.m. as usual, followed by morning worship here at 11:30. Just to say in advance too, next Sunday evening, the Rathfrieland Orange Hall Committee Annual Orange Service will take place here in the church at 7 p.m. and the special speaker will be Mr. Simon Walsh. So it's an invitation to you all to be here next Sunday evening. Just to say too that there is a box in the vestibule and it's for, if you remember, Marianne Ross made an announcement on Children's Day seeking help for donations for the housing executive families. So basically it's the George Ministry. So I know Marianne made an appeal that day, but the boxes are out there. And just a reminder to say that there is still a need for donations for that missionary work locally here in the town. So you'll see a list of things on the outside of the box that are required. And just very briefly to say, there are things like pre-loved teddies, backpacks, school bags, comfort blankets for children, Radley's children's toys, anything at all that would be useful to young families who are coming to the town for the very first time. And if you have any questions about that, I'm sure Marianne would be very happy to talk to you about that or even give her a wee phone call. But let's try and support that as best as we possibly can. And just finally to say, there are a small number of these Gospel of Johns available in the vestibule. They are small in number at the moment, but we'll try and get some more if we need them. They're a commemorative edition to commemorate World War II, the 80th anniversary. It's a lovely wee publication, and there's some nice wee stories too there within that. So feel free to take one, and if you don't get your hands on one and you're looking some more, just let me know. Send me a message or give me a phone call, and we'll try and get some more of those for you. And I will hand over now to the Reverend Moody to conduct the remaining part of our service. Thank you.
Good morning, and welcome to our service here at First Rathfrieland. Again, I would just like to add to what David said and just give a big thank you to all who helped at the Holiday Bible Club in the week past. Again, it was a different week of the summer, but I believe we had more children. We had about mid-50s children coming this year, and the leaders were fantastic. The leaders, as always, poured themselves into the club, and I'm still finding people from First with amazing gifts. They kind of hide some of them at times, but it was great, and thank you to all those leaders who really did pour themselves into the week in all different aspects. So thank you for that, and through it all, God willing, the children's lives will have been marked for eternity as they heard the word of God, and I also believe they saw it through the way even the leaders, we acted and interacted with each other there as well. So thank you very much for that. Just one other thing. It's coming to July, and again in July, that's usually the month that your minister gets off, and it will be this year again. So I will be off from this Monday for 4 weeks. And there will be, well, I think, first of all, if you need a minister, you talk with David Scott, but it will be the Reverend George McClelland and Reverend Ken Nelson that will be available if you need a minister until August. I think that's all the announcements. Again, we gather here today to worship the one true living God. In Psalm 108, we read, I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples, for great is your love, higher than the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. So let us stand and worship our faithful God as we sing, How lovely is thy dwelling place. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we rejoice this morning that we can live in your presence. We can dwell with you even now in and through the Lord Jesus Christ who died for us. Lord, we worship you and praise you that we can know your blessings even now. And Lord, we can look forward to one day where we will enjoy them in all their fullness when we're with you. But until then, in Christ, you are with us. And Lord, we marvel at that wonderful fact. Lord, as we gather here today, I pray that you will again encourage each one that gathers here. Encourage each one of us as we look to you. Challenge each one of us, Lord, as we sing your praises, as we hear your word. Challenge us through and through. Lord, as we listen to you, Lord, as you highlight perhaps the things in our lives that shouldn't be there, the things that should and are not, Lord, challenge us and bring us to our knees before you, confessing our sins, seeking your help to do what's right. So, Lord, I pray as we gather here, you will help us to listen. Help us to understand, and then help us to apply your word as your people as we go forth into this world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to look today at Mark chapter 12. This is a question that Jesus asks. Over the last number of weeks, we've had accounts of what others came to Jesus and asked him. Well, today, it's the turn of the Lord Jesus himself, and he asks the scribes this important question and then gives a sum up of what he thinks of them, and it's quite revealing. So let us hear the word of the Lord from Mark 12, verse 35 to 40. While Jesus was teaching in the temple courts, he asked, "How is it that the teachers of the law say that the Christ is the son of David? David himself, speaking by the Holy Spirit, declared, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet.' David himself calls him Lord. How then can he be his son?" The large crowd listened to him with delight. As he taught, Jesus said, "Watch out for the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and be greeted in the marketplaces and have the most important seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for a show make lengthy prayers. Such men will be punished most severely." Amen. May God bless the reading of his word. Now, if the children will come up, we're going to just do a little recap this morning of some of the songs we sang in the Holiday Bible Club and just get a reminder of some of the things that hopefully the children took away with them. Great. I think a few have gone on holidays already. Now, sometimes when I'm not here, I just give a wee eye to see what's going on. And I noticed that sometimes Colin would have some sweets with him, wouldn't I? Well, he would. So I've learned a wee bit, and some of the ones left over from the Holiday Bible Club I've brought with me today. So we'll see how that goes later. But one of the songs we sang at the Holiday Bible Club, and we're going to sing now. We're going to sing two, one now and one after the talk. But the first one is How Wonderful. Do you remember that one? How wonderful, how great. Oh, you're all tired this morning again, aren't you? Well, we're all going to stand and we're going to sing this beautiful little children's chorus. How great, how wonderful is our God. It's a little chorus that just we can praise God through it as we're reminded how truly wonderful and great he is. So let's stand and sing this together. I think we'll do it through twice. Yes.
Our great, our wonderful is our God. Our great, our wonderful is his love that we measure it.
Now, again, through that song, we're reminded how great our God is. But through our talks, we also learnt how great and important we are, you are, to God. Again, the first day, we were looking at the fact that you are valuable to God. You are so valuable, each one of us. We are so valuable to God. And we were thinking, why is that? Why is that? Now, some people have value in different things. Some people find gold of great value. I'm sure none of us would say no if someone offered us some gold. We find gold, it can be pretty, but we can also get stuff for it. There's diamonds, there's gems, all these things that are valuable to people. Why are we valuable to God? Why are you valuable to God? Do you remember? Yeah? Because we are one of his creations. God has created us. We are one of his creations. But why are we one, or why are we the most special of his creations? That's something we looked at, isn't it? We are unique amongst everything else that God made. Why is that? I'm going to ask the congregation, including the choir, why is that? Why are we so different and so precious and valuable to God? Oh, yeah. You see, these were leaders that were really picking it up at the Holiday Bible Club, too. Very good. Yeah, we are made in the image of God. We are made special by God. And part of that means we can know him, we can love him now and forever. So you are special. So special and valuable to God because of who you are, not because of what talents you have, how intelligent you are, how you look. You and every one of us, we are valuable to God because we are created by him, made in his image. And that's something you should never forget. Now, the next thing we learned on the second day, I believe it was Colin that taught us about this. The wonderful fact that God loves to forgive. God loves to forgive us all when we do wrong. Who here does wrong? Who here has done wrong? A few hands at the front. All hands should really be up, shouldn't they? We've all done wrong. There are times we all need to be forgiven. And we were reminded of that through Jonah. Remember, Jonah was told exactly what he had to do. He knew what God said, and he tried to do the opposite. God told him to go to Nineveh. He didn't want to go. Whenever we disobey God, that's sin. And we have all sinned, the Bible says. Every single one of us. Thankfully, we all haven't been eaten by a big fish or whale when that happens. But we've all disobeyed God. Sometimes we've told lies. Sometimes we've been grumpy and perhaps we've shouted at someone. We may even have lashed out at someone when we shouldn't. We maybe have disobeyed our parents. We have all sinned, the Bible says. And we all need forgiveness. And remember, what did Jonah do in the belly of the whale? I can hardly even think of that, just thinking of how that would be such a small space. But anyway, what did he do in the belly of the whale that was important? Yeah. Sorry, he did get eaten by it, swallowed. Thankfully not eaten totally, but yeah, what happened? What did he do? Yeah. He prayed and said sorry. And that's something we all have to do. Sometimes we have to say it to each other when we do things that are wrong, because none of us are perfect. But we also have to say it to God when we do wrong, when we disobey him. And remember, God does love to forgive, and God is able to forgive us. Why? Well, we learned a bit more the next day. And I believe this was Heather that taught this lesson. Only Jesus can save you. It is the Lord Jesus because of what he has done. And again, we looked that night at the story
of the 10 lepers, those who had this terrible disease that no one could cure. Nowadays, people can do a lot for those with leprosy. Doctors and people have thought up and found ways that can help. In those days, there was no hope at all. But Jesus, remember, Jesus healed them. Jesus was able to do that because he is the Son of God. And how many came back and said, thank you? How many? Yeah? One, only one. Isn't that terrible? At least he came back. And he was from Samaria, a Samaritan, we heard. Those people that the rest, the Jewish people, didn't like. But he was such a great example for saying thank you. Remember, Jesus has done for you what no one else can. He died on the cross so you can be forgiven. You have to ask him for that forgiveness and then thank him for it. We should all thank him. That's an amazing thing. We should never forget that. That God is willing to forgive us because of Jesus. And then the last thing we learned was we only did 4 nights, didn't we? Some of the leaders like me were finding it a bit difficult, so 4 nights was enough. No, we couldn't do it on the 5th night this week. There was something else. But we learned that Jesus was willing to follow God's plan. God had a plan because he loved us so much. He made us. He made us special. He couldn't have us with sin in our lives. That meant we had to be separated from him. But he had a plan, and that plan meant Jesus, who had never done anything wrong, had to pay the price for our sins, for your sins and mine. That was all part of God's plan, and Jesus thankfully loved us so much that he went through with it. He was willing to take that suffering and pain for you and for me. Isn't that amazing? It is. It is amazing. And God has a plan for each one of us. God's plan for us is that we put our trust in Jesus. And when we trust in Jesus, then God's plan is that we will be with him one day forever. And until, as his children, and until then, he will be there to help us as we listen to him and seek to do what he asks. Remember, God has a very special plan for all of us. And that plan will end when we trust in Christ in heaven one day. We'll be able to live with him forever and ever and ever. What a wonderful plan God has for us. And it was because of Jesus that we can have that, enjoy that. So that's some of what we were learning this week. And two things we did during the week to remind us of those important things was, of course, the memory verses. And the first one was 1 John 3, verse 1. And I think it's only right if all of us say this verse together. So I think everyone in the church, you have to shake yourselves a little bit just to make sure I hope you haven't gone asleep during the little talk there. But just in case, we're going to say this all together. And we'll say the Bible says in 1 John 3, verse 1, and then say the verse together, okay? Is that all right with everybody? Is that all right with the choir? That's good. So the Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, see what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. What an amazing verse, reminding us that God's great love, not a little bit, but it says has lavished on us. We had to look at that verse and get it explained what it meant. I think it was Lynn that taught the verse the first 2 days and taught it fantastically. Lavished means so much, not just a little, but it was outpoured on us. His love and the fact that we can be called children of God. That's amazing. That's how much we're loved. God wants us as his children. No matter who we are, no matter what we've done, through Christ, you can be his child. So that's the first verse the children learned. Such an important verse. And then the second verse reminded us how we can be. And that is through Galatians 2, verse 20. So I believe it was Margaret that taught this verse so well. During the week and summed it up. So we're going to say this together as well. We'll start with the Bible says in Galatians 2, verse 20, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Get an amazing truth again, isn't it? Jesus gave himself for us. And how do we respond? By faith. By putting our trust in Jesus. That's how any of us can be his children today. If you've never done that, no matter who you are, You can be known as a child of God today. As you ask him for his forgiveness, he will forgive you. God loves to forgive. And as you trust in Jesus, you put your faith in Jesus, then you will be one of his children and you can enjoy him now and forever. So that's a real summary. There was quizzes, there was games, there was Coach Xander who was just running around the place doing so many games with us that children were enjoying. But that's the teaching of the week. Again, so hopefully you won't forget those things. And we're going to sing again, and then before you go, after we sing, you'll all get some Haribo. Again, Haribo was also supplied during the week, and the children, I think, you know, there's one of the leaders particularly enjoys Haribo, I must admit, but I really don't need it, so we'll give a few of those sweets out. But we'll all stand now, and we'll sing another chorus, a chorus that we used to sing years ago, but it was the favorite, wasn't it, Colin? When you asked one night, they asked for this one. So we're going to stand and sing The Countdown, and we'll sing it through twice. Could you take one from Megan as well?
Takes me so long to get back up the stairs, then. But no. Again, we also had actions for those choruses during the week, but your minister's a little bit shy when it comes to doing the actions, especially when it's live and people could see me all over the world. But maybe we'll get that sorted at some point. But again, thank you for all those who gave of themselves to help with the Holiday Bible Club this year. It was greatly appreciated. And I think by Friday, everybody was totally wrecked, but it was great, so thank you. So we're going to come now to prayer, again giving our thanks and also bringing our requests before the Lord. So let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you love us, that you care for us, that we are valuable to you. You created us, you made us in your image. And though even though we have sinned against you, disobeying you, you love us and care for us. You are willing to forgive us. And Lord, that forgiveness is available to all of us in and through the name of Jesus, the one who willingly gave himself for us on the cross. Lord, we are so thankful for that. Lord, we thank you. And Lord, as part of our thanks, we give you our offerings. And Lord, the offerings that we've given today and even over the last week in different ways, Lord, we pray that you will take them and use them for your glory and honor. Lord, we thank you. And Lord, we thank you that we can bring our prayers before you. We pray that you will continue to lead each one of us. Lord, you have a plan for us. Lord, we know your plan through your word, how we are to live day by day. But Lord, you have a plan for each of us that you want us to be with you one day forever. We thank you for that. But until then, Lord, we pray that you will guide us. Guide us in these strange days. Lord, as we listen to what's going on in the world, Lord, we perhaps are confused, sometimes a little bit scared as we hear of things that have happened, that might happen. Lord, help us keep our eyes focused on you, the God who loves us and cares for us. Lord, we know that through Jesus, we will never be separated from your love. No matter what happens, your word promises us that when we pass from this world, we will be with you. So Lord, keep our eyes focused on you. Lord, I pray for those who are continuing to go through treatments. Lord, I pray that you will help them, that you will use those treatments, Lord, to give the measure of health that is needed. And Lord, just give peace to them and their families, as it can be a difficult time for all, to say the least. Lord, for those in the congregation who are going through troubles, but perhaps keep them to themselves, yet they may be tearing them apart. Lord, I pray that you will help them. Lord, help them just do what they can do to sort these problems out. And Lord, if they can do very little, Lord, I pray that you, our sovereign God, our Heavenly Father, will, Lord, bring the changes that are needed. So, Lord, people will be able to have that peace that's needed. So, Lord, just direct those who are going through difficult times, I pray. Lord, I pray that you will help each one of us as we seek to serve you. Even over the summer months, Lord, no matter where we go, give us the opportunities. Lord, for those who are going across the seas, those who are going to Uganda with the BB team, Lord, I pray that you will be continuing to prepare them, Lord, and prepare the way. Lord, just prepare the way so they can go and do what you have called them to do for that time. Lord, keep them healthy and keep them safe. Lord, and I pray that you'll help each one of us. Keep them in our hearts and prayers, especially as we hear more this evening. Lord, help us keep praying for your servants who are going out to Uganda. And Lord, for others, Lord, that in our everyday lives, Lord, those perhaps going on holidays, those continuing to work, give us opportunities to share your love. Show us the ways we can serve you. Show us the ways we can help those around us. And Lord, help us take them for your glory, for your honor. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now we're going to stand and sing that beautiful hymn that points us to Jesus, yet not I, but through Christ in me. again, different people at times came and asked questions of the Lord Jesus, sometimes to trick him, sometimes they honestly wanted to know the answer. Here, the Lord Jesus gives a question, of course, that we find the scribes cannot answer. He asks them this question. How can the scribes say that the Christ is the son of David? How can the scribes say that the Christ is the son of David? Well, the Christ being the son of David was, of course, common belief. And the Bible tells us that. For example, in 2 Samuel 7, it says, when your days are over and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. So talking about someone related to David who would reign forever, quite clearly. And again, the scribes, etc., would have realized that is the Messiah that's talking about. Again, in Psalm 89, you said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David, my servant, I will establish your line forever and make your throne firm through all generations. Quoting from 2 Samuel 7. The Messiah would be from the line of David. So was Jesus saying the scribes were wrong in thinking this? Were they mistaken? Not at all. But he is letting them know their view is far too limited. The Messiah would be the son of David, but so much more that they could not wrap their minds around at the minute. Again, they could not understand that the one standing before them was actually the Messiah, the son of David, but not only the son of David, also the son of God. You see, they were expecting a great and mighty king, someone who would destroy all of Israel's enemies, someone who would fulfill all the promises given to Abraham, someone who would usher in a glorious kingdom for them, for simply the people of Israel. He would, in their thoughts, simply be a human being, an amazing human being, but simply a human being. And that is what Jesus addresses here. He points to the fact that the Messiah would be so much more. He points to Psalm 110 as he teaches them, focusing on the fact that it says, the Lord says to my Lord. Now, how could this be? How could he have to call his son my Lord unless this was talking about someone else, someone that was more than a human? And that's part of what Jesus is saying here. He wasn't going to be simply a descendant of David. You can't call your son my Lord, especially when you're a great king. So Jesus is pointing to the fact that, again, the Messiah would be from the line of David, but also the Son of God. That's why David would have to humble himself and call him Lord, because not just from his line, but the Messiah would be and is the Son of God. That's something that Jesus continually affirmed, that he was the Son of David, also the Son of God, that he was the Christ, that he was Jesus Christ, Christ being the Greek version of Messiah, the Hebrew, the anointed one, the one they had been waiting for. Jesus was that one from the line of David, but also the Son of God. Again, as we look through Scripture, we find this being highlighted even in Mark 1 verse 1, the beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God. Not simply a man, but also God. Again, Mark 8 verse 29, Peter answers him, tells the Lord Jesus, yes, you are the Christ. You are the one that the people had been waiting for, the one they had needed, the one we need. Again, Jesus shares titles about himself that are only usually given to God. The I Am, the Holy One, the Lord of Lords, the Shepherd, the Redeemer. And there are different verses in Scripture we find Jesus referring to himself with these titles that in the Old Testament are specifically given to God. Again, he possessed attributes that were unique to God. Again, Scripture saying the Messiah would be eternal. Micah 5, verse 2. Hebrews 3, verse 8, that he would be immutable. Now, what does that mean? It means unchangeable, unchanging. He would be sovereign. Matthew 28, verse 18. His omnipotence. Philippians 3, 21. The fact that he is omnipresent everywhere. Again, these things that were known attributes about God were also laid upon the Lord Jesus, reminding us that he was so much more than an ordinary man. He was God's son. Again, he did works that only God could do. We're told in Colossians 1:16 that it was through him everything was created. The creation of the world, all that we enjoy, attributed to Jesus, his son. John 5:21 tells us that he is the one that gives life, all life, our life. It's possible through him. He is the one in Mark 2, verse 7, that is able to forgive sins. Something that no one else can do. No man can forgive sins. The Bible is very clear. Only God can forgive sins. Jesus could forgive sins because he was one of us, perfect in every way, yet also God the Son, all-powerful, all-knowing, the King of Kings. That's why his death on the cross was enough for your sin and my sin. That's why he was and is able to represent each one of us when he died on the cross. He was one of us, but he was also the Son of God, able to forgive your sins, able to forgive my sins. The Son of David, the Son of God. That's who Jesus is. So important that he was one of us from the line of David, as the Old Testament tells us. Also the Son of God, able to forgive sins. The question is he your Lord? Is he your Lord? It's important to know who Jesus is, but it's more important that he is your Lord. He must be. The only way for you to have your sins forgiven, the only way for you to enjoy him now and for all eternity, is to make sure you have bowed your knee to the Lord Jesus, asked his forgiveness for your sins, and asked him to be Lord of your life, acknowledging him as the Son of God, your Savior, your Lord. That is what God requires of us. And when we do that, because of who Jesus was, the Messiah from the line of David, perfect, and also God, God the Son, your sins can be completely forgiven. Not because of anything you can do, but all because of what Jesus has already done. That is the wonderful gospel, the gospel that we have to cling to submit to, the one we have to submit to, so we can be his children now and forever. Make sure you are his Lord, that you have bowed your knee to the Messiah, Son of David, Son of God. Jesus makes this clear in his own way to those people. It may be slightly confusing to us as we hear it, but from that culture, they knew exactly what Jesus was saying. Some were delighted. Some of the religious leaders would have been less than delighted, and especially as Jesus goes on to what he says. Jesus goes on and makes a statement, a number of statements. He tells the people to beware of the scribes, the teachers of the law. The teachers of the law should have been those they should trust in, been able to trust in, those that should have guided them, treated them fairly. The scribes turned out to be the direct opposite of what they should be. And we always need to make sure as leaders that we are what God wants us to be, always seeking to come before God, submitting to him, seeking his forgiveness, seeking his direction. The scribes, again, were not submitting themselves to the Lord Jesus or even to God himself. And Jesus had zero tolerance for this. Jesus kept bringing up the faults in the leaders at that time. He gives five illustrations why we should beware of them. He tells us they like to walk around in long robes. The Lord Jesus is very practical, and we see that here. They used to run around. They would have had full-length, expensive, ornate outer garments. And on their fringes were what was called tassels. They had these tassels. Every Jewish person had to wear these tassels. I forgot I had some for the Easter lesson. I'll have to bring some back into church to show you what they look like. But the scribes wore ones that were so long, much longer than they should have been. Again, why? To show off. They wanted people to think much of them because of the way they looked. They were making a statement with how they dressed with their long robes, that they were so important and people had to listen to them. Jesus says no. Jesus says no. Do not be falling for how they look. They could look amazing, yet they're teaching corruption. And again, that's a reminder for us. It's not on what we wear, it's that our hearts that matters most to God. The clothes do not make the man or woman. It is the heart and a bowed knee to Christ. So they loved walking around in these long robes, showing off. Peacocking, I suppose it might be called. Just showing off to those around them. We're also told here they liked being greeted in the marketplaces. Again, the scribes loved to be greeted with honor and with respect. The very name or title rabbi means my great one. So to be so addressed was agreeable to their vanity. Again, to fail to greet them in the proper manner was considered a serious affront. They wanted the prestige they felt they deserved. Again, how far they had gone away from God's word. Those who were supposed to lead the people in teaching and indeed how they lived were again leading them astray. We're also told they enjoyed the best seats in the synagogues. Unlike us good Presbyterians, we love to sit at the back. And I must say, if I'm not teaching, you could find me usually back. And in fact, I think I was back there in the back pew when I wasn't teaching one Sunday. That's where I would like to be. But the sitting and the scribes, they would have picked the chair at the very front, maybe up here. So, and it would have been raised up so they could see everyone and everyone could see them. Everyone could see them. They wanted to be in full view of everybody else. That's the only reason they came and sat in the places of honor at the in the synagogue, so everyone could see them. They didn't do anything at times, didn't say anything, just wanted everyone to see they were there. They wanted the admiration of others. They wanted the places of honor at the feasts. That's what Jesus tells us. They loved to sit closest to the host. Those who sat closest to the host would have been seen as the most important. They wanted the spotlight directly on them. Why? Because they believed they were worth it. They wanted the praise. They wanted the admiration. How far that is from how we are supposed to act as God's servants. Any of us. He tells us, he goes on to say, they devour widows' houses. You see, the scribes of the day were also seen as the lawyers. They served as estate planners, and apparently they had a terrible reputation of this. They would write out legal documents for widows that could not read, and some were guilty of convincing poor widows that they would be serving God by supporting the temple, by giving everything to the temple, or by supporting the scribes themselves. So they would have written the wills to make sure they were getting a good part of the money and also the temple, but mainly themselves. So whatever the husband who died left the wife, the scribe would have tried to take quite a bit of that. What a terrible act, what terrible terrible behavior. They demanded the widows give money to purchase God's blessings, basically. So they preyed on the most helpless members of society, consuming the limited resources of those who had the least. Again, Isaiah 1:17 says, God telling the people, learn to do right, seek justice, encourage the oppressed, defend the cause of the fatherless, plead the case of the widow. Well, the scribes were actively going directly against what Isaiah 1:17 was saying. They were making it so much worse for the widows by what they were doing. What else did Jesus have against them? They had a pretense to make long prayers. They made long, long prayers. Again, it's been said that their prayers were not so much offered to God as offered to those around them, showing off with how articulate they could be, making their prayers so long. Again, in Matthew 6, verse 5, again, Jesus said, do not be like them. These scribes were quite good at putting on an act. They took what was good, they twisted it, perverted it. And Jesus says, beware. Beware of their condemnation. They will receive the greater condemnation because of the way they were acting. Those who were supposed to show the way were corrupting the way and leading people to disaster and to hurt. Again, we are not to be like the scribes. We have to make sure we don't think too highly of ourselves. Yes, we are loved by God. We are valued by God. He created us, made us in his image. But we should not think we are better than others and go around trying to make people convinced of that. Romans 12, verse 3, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has answered. We should not seek people to take notice of us, to lift us up. Again, as leaders, all of us, but especially leaders, we are called to serve. We are called to be the very least, to serve those around us. That is what we would seek to do. And of course, that is what each of us as Christians should seek to do. But that is what we should seek of our leaders as well. We are called to be servants, not peacocks seeking others' attention. Again, yes, we are all valued to God. We are children of God in Christ, made in his image, with the gifts that God has given us. But we should never forget what we can do for God, we only can do because he gives us and directs us. Danger is a danger when we start to think more of ourselves than we should be and try to get others to do the same. We should, of course, never take advantage of others. Never take advantage of others seeking what we can get from others. That's what other people may do. That's what the scribes did, it seems. Instead, we are called always to do the opposite. We are called to pour ourselves out for the others, other people. We are called to seek to help the weak, the helpless. Never, ever to take advantage, but to help. 1 John 3:17, if anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? We are called to look around us, and when we see a need as we can, we are to seek to help. We can't do everything, but we can do what God directs us to, and we should. According to God's word, that is what we'll be judged on, remember. Our faith is shown by our works, particularly how we look after others. That's what we find in Matthew particularly. Don't play let's pretend. You know, we're good at this perhaps as children, pretending what we're not, and that can be fun. Not so much fun if we're doing it as we get older. We shouldn't give off false impressions, illusions of perfection and grandeur, trying to make people think that we are, well, that we are as good as we can be, that we are people to be looked to, up to. We always must be honest. What are we? We are guilty sinners saved by grace. We are struggling with sin until we're with him one day in heaven. And that's all of us, no matter who we are, no matter what position, leader, elder, whoever, as human beings, we will be struggling with sin too, right until we are with God in heaven. None of us are perfect. We should never try and make someone think we are. Others are too wise. They know we're not. We need to admit quickly when we do wrong. And as we've said so often, when we realize we're doing wrong, stop it. Say sorry to those we have hurt. Say sorry to God and ask his strength to do what's right, because we need it. We all need God's strength to do what's right day by day. Do not be playing let's pretend. We are hurting. We are broken people. We need God's help. We also need each other's help. So let's not play let's pretend. And then, well, the last thing before beware, remember, length adds nothing to a prayer. Ministers should remember this, shouldn't we? We're reminded here by the Lord Jesus to be short and distinct, maybe in the sermons too. So we should. Fancy words do nothing to aid our prayers. In fact, again, they may be detrimental. It's important as we pray with the correct heart and a correct attitude, to be as simple and honest to God in our prayers. So let us remember, we can have life to the full because of the Messiah. Jesus, the Son of David, the Son of God, died for you and died for me, paying the price that we could never pay, the price for our sins, so you can be forgiven. Make sure you have bowed the knee to him, that he is your Lord, your Savior. And then we need to be careful in our everyday lives. We need to be humble, not full of pride. We need to be helping others, not taking advantage of others. And we should never seek to make people think we're holier than we are. We need to be real, as we need help. We need to go to the Lord. We also need to feel free to go to each other, realizing we are sinners, sinners in Christ saved by grace. Therefore, we will need people's help at time, as we will also be there to help others. So let us be realistic, not like these scribes who love to be walking peacocks. Let us be people who are constantly on our knees, seeking to worship God and serving those around us. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have done it all for us, that you have made the way for us to be your children through your Son, the Son of David, the Son of God, who died for us. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. Lord, help us as your people. Lord, serve you day by day. Help us to serve each other. Help us never to play let's pretend. Help us be true. Help us be willing to explain, yes, when we do things wrong, that we need help. We need forgiveness. We need strength to do what's right as we seek to keep walking with you until we're with you one day in heaven. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to stand and sing our final hymn, All I Once Held Dear. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest upon you all from this time on. Amen.